Now, you said you weren't going to give me a hard time, Carl. All right, so our text this morning is going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And the title of my teaching this morning is We Are His Workmanship. We are His Workmanship. Now, the beginning of chapter 2 starts with the word and. So that means there were some things that came before that that we should take a look at and pay attention to. So we're going to start actually in chapter 1, verse 15. Now, I would like to point out that these verses in chapter 1, this is a prayer that Paul prays for believers and actually prays for us. I'd like to encourage you that this is a prayer that you can pray for yourself and pray for others. You can just personalize it. Now, to include our text, it'll just take a minute so we can get the context. I'm going to start in 1:15 and I'm going to read all the way till 2:10. So here we go. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. All right, I know that was a lot of scripture, but you really see the importance of that chapter 1 before we get to this. So, in verse 1, we read, and you hath he quickened. And I want to read Colossians 2:13 to you. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Also in Psalms 119:50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. And also in Psalms 119, verse 93, I will never forget thy precepts, for with them thou hast quickened me. Now, I'd like to take a minute to talk about this word quickened, because we don't use that much anymore. In a lot of your in the modern translations, they translate it to make alive, simply to make alive. But there is so much more to that word. And I actually like the word quickened, the fact that he has quickened us together. Let me read you some more components of the definition for quickened. It means to heighten to action, to stimulate, to provoke or motivate, to animate, to vitalize or invigorate, to liven, to perk up or pep up, to light up, to activate. Now that word quicken is so much more powerful when you think he has animated us together with Christ Jesus. See, it's an empowering that he gives us. He's made us alive, and he's given us life. So I want to pick up now and talk in verse 2. It's starting to talk about our past life here, and I hope that it's pretty far past and not maybe earlier today or on the way here. I hope it's in the past, way in the past. Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. So we have a couple of things mentioned here. According to the course of this world, the way the world does things, not according to God's word and God's way. According to the prince of the power of the air. Now this is something to pay special attention to, that Satan is called the prince of the power of the air. We just experienced some of that lately with the power of the air. And it's the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So it is an evil spirit. Now this children of disobedience, that's what we once were. I want to go and read, if you'll turn to Romans 6, Romans 6 verse 5 through 11. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So this verse right here has a nice southern term in it for us. It says for us to reckon ourselves. So you can say, I reckon myself to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Let me get back over. I didn't keep my place. Get back over here to Ephesians. So we are alive in Christ. Here we go. All right. Told you we were going old school today. This word overhead helps. Yeah, turn back to it. Plus the light isn't real great. Ooh, that's better. Thank you. All right. So I also, we'll get there in a minute. So we were children of disobedience. Disobedience to what? Disobedience to God's word, disobedience to God's law, and in particular, specifically, disobedience to the gospel. Just being disobedient to the gospel, not choosing to believe the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 3 and 4, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now, that word conversation means how we go about our day-to-day life, our lifestyle, what we think, what we say, what we do. And actually, conversation is a good translation because the Bible says, out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So in times past, it lists a few things here, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling desires of the flesh and of the mind. So not only fulfilling fleshly desires, but also those thoughts that we have to take captive and cast down in our minds. And by nature were the children of wrath. Children of wrath. There's a scripture in John. We'll go to John real quick. Go to John 3:36. John 3:36. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that's a thought, you know. People, we walk around people every day that aren't saved, aren't born again, haven't believed the gospel, and the wrath of God is resting upon them, just like it was resting on us before that took place. That's something for us to keep in mind and use it as a motivation to talk to people about Jesus, to share the gospel. Now we get to the good stuff again. But God, who is rich in mercy, God is rich in mercy. I love the scripture. I pray it a lot as part of my prayers. The scripture that says his mercies are new every morning. And myself personally, I'm glad that God is rich in mercy and that I get fresh new mercies every morning because I use them up. I use them up. But it's great for me to know that God is so rich in mercy, he's never going to run out. Never going to run out. And for his great love for us, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and here's that term again, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. We're saved by the grace of God. So we see this word quickened again, you know, and again, it has that wonderful meaning. Think of this, and hath raised us up together and made us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. He has motivated us together with Christ. He's animated us together with Christ. He's vitalized and invigorated us together with Christ. He's livened us. He's perked us up and pepped us up. He's lightened us up. He's activated us in Christ Jesus. And then this wonderful phrase, by grace are ye saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to talk about this a little bit because this is one of those truths from the Word of God that it's great to spend some time meditating on because this is one of those things that's kind of hard to wrap our head around. I like to say it this way. I know it in my knower, but to you know, really think it through and explain it, it's hard to do, but God says it, that settles it, I believe it. It says we are made to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if we also look at, this actually corresponds with the verse we read earlier from chapter 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Jesus is seated at the right hand in the heavenly places, and we sit together with him in heavenly places, not at God's right hand. I have a few quotes here. Think of it this way. Right now our bodies are here on earth, and our born-again spirits, which is the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us is in us, but it's all one. That's how we are all one body, and it's virtually a virtual reality that we are in heaven, seated right now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, it's kind of funny, they do all this VR stuff now with the goggles and everything. We already have it. We have better than that. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And this is important to meditate on and know, because we think about, when we get there, when we get to heaven, we're already there. In spirit, we're already there. Our bodies are waiting to put on mortality and be there in our soul realm to finish its sanctification and be there. I think about when Jesus said, "I go and I prepare a place for you." He already has a place in heaven for us. I had this quote. I don't look at a lot of commentaries and whatnot, but I recently got a blue Bible that I've been using some online, and I just decided to click on it. And I actually found a real nice quote in the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, and it says, "Believers are bodily in heaven in point of right," which means it's our right, "and virtually so in spirit, and have each their own place assigned there." We each have our own place assigned there, "which in due time we shall take possession of. Our union with him is the ground of our present spiritual and future bodily resurrection and ascension." Amen. So now let's go on to verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." This verse shows the perpetualness of that. His grace. His grace. And this is, I'm reading this now, we're in an age of that. This has already been going on for almost 2,000 years. And it's no matter what age it is, it's going to continue to go on for us, for the saved, for the elect. This word ages, God throughout eternity is going to be revealing the exceeding greatness of his mercy and of his kindness. These things that he has given and provided and done for us through Jesus Christ. We will never discover it all. Eternity isn't long enough. Throughout all eternity, God's grace and love and mercy is going to continue to be revealed to us for all eternity. We're never going to realize it all. We're just going to keep experiencing it for all eternity. And then here's a great verse, Ephesians 2:8. The whole Reformation practically came from this verse. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Our salvation is a gift of God. Our faith is a gift of God. It's all a gift of God. I can read verse 9 along with that, and it proves that. "Not of works, lest any man should boast. So by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." When I first read that verse, the first verse that came to mind was John 4:10. John 4:10, the woman at the well. Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and he had asked her for a drink of water, and she had her come back to him, and then Jesus says this, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." So we see that mention of the gift of God there. Also, a verse most of us know and can recite from memory is Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So how did we find out about this gift? How do we find out about this gift? Those of us, most of us in here, I'm sure, hope everybody in here, we already have this gift. How did we find out about it? Romans 10:17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We receive faith from hearing the Word of God. However it might have come to us. It might have come to us from a preacher. It might have come to us from somebody already preaching and teaching on a tape or on television or in a book. Primarily, I think most of us, we've got it and had it confirmed from this book, God's holy book. So now we're getting to the real point of this whole message, which is verse 10. I love Ephesians 2:10, and it's been a very important verse to me ever since my radical salvation and deliverance and everything back in, I'm about to have my 32nd spiritual birthday, which is on November 10th, 1990, but that's a whole nother story for another time. But I love Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So I want to spend the rest of the time talking about verse 10, but I want to get there by reading 8 and 9 and then 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So let's break this down just a little bit. I love the first part of this verse. We are his workmanship. We are his creation. He's creating us. He's continuing to work with us every moment of every day to mold us in to the people of God in as individuals and as the whole body of Christ that he wants us to be. I just thought of that illustration of, you know, us being on the potter's wheel. You know, God just working us by his Holy Spirit and his Word. And then we are created in Christ Jesus. I think of John 3 when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. Yeah, we're part of creation, and when we're born, we're a creation of God, but we need to be created in Christ Jesus, and creation, being created in Christ Jesus, comes at the new birth. We must be born of water and of spirit. So we are, it's the work of Christ. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. He's done it all. He does it all. And then we get the reason why. Why? Unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I love that. God before ordained. He planned in advance. We say a confession, we confess some word before the sermon's brought forth every Sunday, and one of them is that God has a great plan for my life, and I will fulfill my destiny. And that's when we confess that, we're acknowledging this verse, that God has a great plan for our life, that he has before ordained, and we're agreeing with God and saying that we will, we've decided that we're choosing to fulfill that destiny that God has created for us. When I think of these good works, these are the good works that come not to get salvation. See, this comes after we're his workmanship and we've already been created in Christ Jesus. And we've already read how it's great by grace through faith, not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we are his workmanship to do his work. So a thought is, what are some of these good works? Well, good works are the fruit, bearing the fruit of trusting God's word, putting your trust in God's word. Another way we do good works and bear fruit is by sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus, telling people about the good news of Jesus, telling people about the fact that God wrote us a letter, God wrote us a love letter, he wrote us a book. Do you have a copy of it? Read it. Read it. And share the word. Be speaking the word. It's also to walk in love, to all people, and exhibit and make sure that the fruit of the Spirit is being manifest in our lives. And then another part of good works is for us to care for each other and encourage one another and care for the needs of others. Having a servant's heart, especially caring for the poor and needy, the widows and the orphans. I do a lot of reading throughout different parts of the Bible. And when you've read through I'm sure most of you in here, you've read through the Bible at least once, probably more than once. And what you see all through there, God has a special place in his heart for widows and orphans, the fatherless and the orphans. And so we are doing a good work anytime that we are ministering and being servants to those. And the last thing I think that's like the crucial element of being producing good works is having a servant's heart. Be willing to serve. Not to be served, but to serve. Amen? So we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is also walking in the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In fact, the first believers, before it was called anything else, it was called the way. We still refer to it as the way. So this walking in them is for us to walk in the way, to make a conscious decision to put our effort into every moment of our life to be walking in the way of the Lord, in spirit and truth. And this is the biggest help we have for that. We have our instruction manual right here. Read it all you can. Read it a lot. This is the most important book in the world. This is the most important words on paper, ink on paper that we have. Now today, in modern times, it's great that we don't have to just rely on reading it. Listening to it is wonderful. You have a Bible app on your phone. You can listen to the Word. I've gotten a lot of new insights and revelation about what the Word is saying to me by listening to it. Because, you know, when I read it, I can get caught up on a word or, you know, get sidetracked here and there. But when I'm listening to it, I've had to stop it before because I'm like, what? What? I don't remember hearing that before. And I have to stop the audio and go, oh, yeah, that is what it says. I don't remember that. So listening to it is great. So in closing today, I just want to, you know, repeat this verse. And, you know, I want to remind you about how that second half of chapter 1 is wonderful to pray for yourself and for others. And then I would like to encourage you, even kind of throw out a challenge, if you haven't already, memorize Ephesians 2:10. Memorize it. Make it a part of your life. I make this a part of one of my first prayers when I wake up in the morning, and I do it kind of like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I acknowledge that I am your workmanship, and I praise you and thank you that I am created in Christ Jesus, that I can do the good works that you planned out in advance. You've before ordained your perfect will. You have my day planned out in advance, and I ask for your help to show me what that is and give me the strength and the knowledge by your Spirit to do that, because I want to walk in your perfect will for my life. And I'd like to end with this scripture. It's Romans 6:22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you for your word that we have that teaches us and encourages us and challenges us to be the people of God that you have before ordained and planned for us to be, and that you purchased with your sacrifice, your perfect sacrifice, your shed blood on the cross, and that you're the first fruits from the dead, raised from the dead, that our old man is dead and we are raised into newness of life. And Father, in Jesus' name, I praise you and thank you that whether we understand it or not or realize everything about it, that right now we are seated in heavenly places in our dear Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you to please help us realize that more and more and understand it and walk in it. And we praise and thank you for your great salvation and your spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.